We will call to order the April 12th, 2016 Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement. Members, this will be a rather short evening for us. We just have a few items that we've been working on, that we need to talk a little bit about. Representative Erickson, have you had a chance to review the minutes from the April 5th meeting?
Mr. Chair, I will move approval of the minutes from April 5th.
Representative Erickson moves approval of the minutes from April 5th. Any questions, corrections, or changes? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion carries. Members, last week when we were looking at building the omnibus bill and looking at what I've oftentimes just called constituent corrections, we had a House file, 3606, before us, and there was some question. And we've actually asked staff to do some looking into this and to do some follow-up. And I do understand that there's a little bit more of an update that may help us to be able to make some decisions. And so with that, I'm going to ask our Executive Director, Susan Lincheski, to provide us with an additional update as to where we may be at with information on House File 3606. Ms. Lincheski.
There's a memo in a supplemental memo in your packets. The couple of questions that I tried to address here, one had to do with the precedential effect of the decision. And as we heard, I think, last week, there is concern on the part of both the commission, both the Department of Corrections and MSRS. It's our guess that these individuals are nearing retirement or are beginning their retirement benefits, pension benefits, and are now looking at what they may have lost if they hadn't taken action prior to 99 to do the service credit transfer and purchase. So the likelihood is that they believe there is a strong likelihood that we'll have more of these coming up. So the thought is that this would be precedential in that it would open the door for more if the commission were to approve this this bill. And then secondly, there was some action similar to this in the past. Senator Goodwin raised it last week, and we went into the files and checked. And there was some, there were bills that were introduced in 2001 that it's not clear exactly on the facts whether it's similar to this situation, but in that case, the commission, for reasons, again, that aren't entirely clear, so I would defer to your memory on that, decided against approval, and no action was taken on those. So with regard to the issue of whether there was error and whose error it was, it is important because there is a dollar amount involved here, so the question of error then leads to the imposition of the cost of this this service purchase, which is about $33,000. So if MSRS committed error, then it would absorb the costs. If it was the Department of Corrections, then the Department of Corrections would have to make that payment to MSRS. We did some additional, we worked with both Mr. Bergstrom from the MSRS plan, as well as with the Department of Corrections, to try to dig into the record here and see what facts there were and additional documentation. It appears that over at the Department of Corrections, their files for these employees do not contain anything relating to the issue of their status under the MSRS plan, and nothing with regard to whether they receive notice of this possibility of being able to buy past service credit, and then nothing relating to an election that they may have made. So basically, the files at Department of Correction do not contain any documentation on this topic. Over at MSRS, it is true that MSRS received a list of employees who may fit into this category, who were in positions that were eligible and then had the requisite 75% inmate contact. So lists were sent over from each of the facilities, and then on the basis of those lists, MSRS then sent out notices, or really a request form, which employees then could act on. They could get a signature from Department of Corrections that they were eligible, and then would take that form to MSRS and then execute the service purchase, and then the service transfer would occur. So it does appear that there are there are lists that are in MSR's files. Mr. Almas's name is not on those lists. So that is pretty much the extent of the data that I was able to pull out of this. So I'm not sure there's any real clear conclusions here, but I went back to the issue that I raised last week, which is it may be possible to get more facts and a little better understanding of what occurred during those years if we allow the appeal process over at the plan to sort of work its way out and conclude.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did speak with Ms. Klencheski about this and with the woman from Corrections. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. And it does seem like the facts are really in doubt, and so I would concur with the staff that we should let the appeal process and the fact-finding process proceed.
And Senator Pappas, I know that you had some concerns about this last week, and there were some other concerns similar that were raised. I know Senator Goodwin had raised some issues with that. I know that other members had some questions, and Representative Murphy did a nice little backgrounding for us because she had experience at the Pension Commission at the time that those things were happening. And so if it's the consensus of the commission at this point, I think that this session, we will not take any action to include House File 3606 in this year's omnibus bill, pending an appeal, and then certainly if there's question, that can be brought back before the Pension Commission at a future point in time. Does that seem to be the consensus of members?
Yes.
Okay, then we will lay over, we will just lay on the table 3606 for this session. Number three, members, is it says Chair's proposal resolution for the Fairview Hospital Privatization Plan. What you're going to be receiving right now is a motion that I would like us to consider this evening. We've taken a lot of data on the proposals. Had a couple of evenings where we took public testimony. There was some written testimony that was submitted. And the consensus that I've gathered from the commission is that they would like to know more information and know what our options are. Given the brevity of the session, the complexity of this information, I've asked staff to create a motion that we would act on this evening if we're so inclined, that would allow us to be able to direct MSRS and their staff to review the testimony that has been given, to also put together information that may be helpful from their experience and the like, and bring something forward to the commission no later than September 30th of 2016. Now, I do realize that is in the interim, but I also do realize that this group has had some experience with the topic, and it gives us a chance to be able to have that information, react to it so that something could be done if it's warranted beginning in January of 2017, when we will have a brand new biennium and session starting. So members and members of the public, there's also a copy of this motion that is available if you are so inclined or interested in looking at that as well. Members, I'll open it up for discussion if anyone has any thoughts or comments about that as a proposed solution for the interim. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the work that you've put into this issue because I think it is really an important issue. But the way the pension funds work is they spend a lot of time with their members, kind of working with them, meeting with them, getting them used to any change because people feel very sensitive about their pensions. So I appreciate the thoughtful approach you're taking here, and we certainly would like to hear some testimony from the public. But, you know, we know that something has to be done, but we just need to have some time for the, like I said, for the plan directors to meet with the members to kind of figure out what that compromise might be.
So, Senator Pappas, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you're leaning towards supporting the motion this evening. Is that?
Subject to any response from the stakeholders, I would be leaning towards supporting.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't planning on necessarily opening it up for testimony this evening, since we're not taking action on the proposed plans. This is kind of what I was thinking that we'd be looking at.
Mr. Chairman, are you thinking this is going to be language in the bill?
No. Senator Pappas, thank you for that. This is the directive from the commission. to the pension staff
mm.
and that plan to look at and to take into consideration
okay.
the testimony that was given, to take into consideration the information that we've asked, the questions that we've asked,
mm-hmm.
which, again, will be involving working with those stakeholders, as you aptly pointed out, having them to giving them a chance to understand, to dig in, and to work, not under the brevity, again, of this session, to be able to do that. And that provides us a substantial amount of time between now and September 30th in which to be able to take that action. So... Senator Goodwin.
Mr. Chair, I think that's a great idea. I think this will help clear up some of the questions that we had, you know, about what the pay differential was at the time and vacation time and sick time and stuff like that. So if they can take a look at that, I think this is a very good option here.
This.
Anyone else, members wishing to... Chair, thoughts or comments on the proposed motion to direct MSRS to do some additional investigation and taking into account the testimony and other aspects and bringing something back to the commission no later than September 30th of 2016? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, and if the report finds, or whoever's doing the report, if the report finds that there's any... printed document of what was said, I would like that included at the time. What was said at
Certainly.
The time to the people. If we have any printed materials that said this is the promise we're making kind of thing.
Representative Murphy, this is what we're hoping to be able to do is to get a broader background on this, again, because of the brevity of the session, too. Still not to still address the issue, but not rush the issue and give all stakeholders an opportunity to become more familiar and participate in the process. Then, if there is no other discussion, I will move the motion as you see in front of you, which is motion number 6 of the 16 session. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. The last item that I have on the agenda for us this evening is just one more clarification on the plan that we had, the 3805, which was the idea of the gifts, donations, bequests, and life insurance. Members, listening to your feedback, I have asked for an amendment to be drafted. And basically what the amendment would do, if the commission is so inclined to move forward, would be to, at item 4, on line 1.14, it says insurance, death benefits, and what we would do at, I'm going to step back one line. On line 10 of page 1, after the word accept, we would insert the words at the discretion of the plans. That was something that Representative Albright had suggested because we didn't know the nature of what that asset might be and the liquidity of that asset and different kinds of things. So that it puts some discretion in the plan. Line 13, after the words bequest, we would insert the word and. On line 14, we would... delete everything after the words benefit and put a period in there so there wouldn't be any question or confusion as to the EPIC, as we've been referring to it, idea. And then the final item would be there would be a repealer of language that's in two of the plans right now. Thank you. The language is on the back of the amendment so that you can see what language would be being repealed from the MSRS plan, and if I'm not mistaken, the other one is, Ms. Lincheski, help me if you could, PERA, Public Employees Retirement Association, and we would have standard language for all four of the funds, St. Paul Teachers, MSRS, PERA, and TRA. And again, this is some of the feedback that I've heard from you. I've had some stakeholders who have stopped by suggesting that this is much better language for them to live with. As well as members who have had some concerns from the commission. So, members, I'd open it up for discussion or feedback. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I still am not completely understanding who would ever leave life insurance to a pension plan?
I guess, Representative Thiessen, we'd never know unless we offered them the opportunity.
But I mean, Mr. Chair,
I don't mean to sound flippant, but it's an idea that we could. And again, I am not married to this idea. If it's something that the commission doesn't want to go forward with, we can make that decision right now, and we can be done with it for the year. I just was trying to attempt to provide clarifying language. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, and I guess the reason I say that is that, you know, it's fine to have the language there, and maybe someone would do that. But this language still allows the EPIC situation to occur. So we're authorizing EPIC to occur with this language. Even though you're taking out the language including, we're still authorizing EPIC to occur. So if the point of this is to somehow allow EPIC to occur, I think we should talk about that as a commission. Because that's the only circumstance under which I would ever see anybody leaving life insurance to a pension plan. So if we're trying to backhand EPIC into this, then we should talk about that as a commission and make that decision. Otherwise, I feel uncomfortable moving forward with life insurance language.
Representative Thiessen, it is not my, to use your words, to try to backhand in EPIC on this. I'm simply just talking about a beneficiary on a life insurance policy in the context of other gifts, bequests, and bequests. Other feedback? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I would be more comfortable if number four was not in our bill. And I tend to not quite agree with Representative Thiessen, but I can see that where a plan director that didn't have any family and had dedicated their life, his or her life, to the plan and to benefit plans rather than 401Bs and so forth. I can see where a plan director might say, I'm going to leave all my wealth to the plan that I dedicated myself for. But I think at this time I'd be more comfortable if we just struck number four.
Representative Murphy, could we use you as a part of the marketing campaign for such an endeavor?
You know, I've been thinking of other things to do. I could
really
participate in that.
And again, members, I don't want to make what I think is a simple item complicated. I do like the idea of having standardized language in the statute for all of the plans that they're working under the same auspices and guidelines. And I am fine taking life insurance out. You know, it can be payable to somebody's estate, and the estate can go, I don't know, I don't. I'm fine with that if that's what gets people comfort on it at this point, but it is not an attempt to do an EPIC without having other discussions and enabling legislation. I don't know how much more clear I can be on my legislative intent on this. Representative Johnson, excuse me, Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair and members, we've talked about this some, and, you know, I would kind of go along with saying, what difference does it make? Some of you might laugh at this, but I consider taxes to be a charitable contribution because it is, I'm giving away my money to some people to take care of everybody. That's my generosity. So, but then if someone chooses to award the state some money, that's not bad. It would go to people. So I guess I would leave it in, and if it causes problems, take it out.
Senator Johnson, you would leave in life insurance as it's proposed in the amendment?
Yes.
Other thoughts or feedback? Well, members, what I will do as a procedural is I will move the A1 amendment and ask that we get it in the shape that I want, and then if we still have additional discussion, we can modify the bill at that point. So I move the A1 to the 3805. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Any other feedback from members? Representative Thiessen.
Can I just ask, so if someone were to leave their life insurance today, benefits to the plan, could they not accept it?
Ms. Lynchowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen. I suspect that you would not be able to. I mean, on the theory that where they're so specific here, where we are being so specific in the statute about certain types of payments that can be made, and we aren't including life insurance proceeds, that my guess is they aren't appropriations, which are covered elsewhere. They're not employer contributions, employee contributions, and they're not, you know, any of the other items on the list here. So I think the answer would be probably not. There is still the MMB option, which I suppose could you know, be used here, but maybe not directly.
So, thank you. So under 352, as it currently exists, before we repeal it, it says it can credit to the retirement fund any money received in the form of donations, gifts, appropriations, bequests, or otherwise. Would that otherwise cover life insurance?
Ms. Lynchowski.
Representative Thiessen, Mr. Chair, I would guess that we need a legal opinion on
okay.
that. I don't know the answer.
No lawyer? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe to Representative Thiessen's point, because I would share that concern as well, but if you're receiving a death benefit from a life insurance policy, you're not receiving the death benefit, you're receiving cash. And I know it's, you know, it's maybe a twist on a phrase, but you are receiving cash. And to the point of what the amendment does also is on line 1.2, it also avails to each one of the pension funds the discretion whether to accept it or not. And so that is the backstop upon which you could literally say whether or not the plan could it or not accept it, depending upon the flavor of how you interpret death benefit proceeds.
Yes. Ms. Lynchowski.
Mr. Chair, one clarification. I think the idea with the death benefits coming out of life insurance is that you'd be able to designate as the plan as your beneficiary under a life insurance policy, so the insurance company would make the payment directly to the plan, I think, is the idea on that. And then in the EPIC scenario, actually, the death benefits from a life insurance policy under the EPIC scenario went into one of these two trusts because there were lots of other things that had to be paid with the death benefits. So there was a little chunk that went over to the plan, and that then was paid to the beneficiary, or excuse me, to the member of the plan, the member's beneficiaries, but then the remainder, the lion's share of that benefit stayed in this trust, which was then used to pay down, you know, the financing. So it wouldn't really work in the EPIC scenario to just have this simple provision.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
Just a question for staff. If we are repealing these two statutes, 352.04 and 353.34, why in the original bill do we need to say notwithstanding any other provision of law to the contrary?
Ms. Lynchowski.
Senator Pappas, Representative Driscoll, I think you're correct that we could eliminate notwithstanding that phrase leading up to the comma would be fine to take out.
Members, who would have thought this is the hardest thing we had to deal with thus far in the session? I apologize, but I didn't think it was going to be that complex.
So, Mr. Chairman, we could...
Senator Pappas.
On page 1.7 of the bill, delete the language up to in and capitalize in. So does that work, Ms. Lynchowski, to say in addition to all sources of funding described... blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Ms. Lynchowski, do you want to read the proposed amendment by Senator Pappas?
Well, the proposed amendment, thank you, would be to delete notwithstanding any other provision of law to the contrary, comma, and then capitalize the I and in, and the remainder would stay as is. This is in line 1.7.
Okay, if it doesn't matter, I'll move that.
I'm fine with that. Senator Pappas moves the amendment to page 1, line 7, to delete everything before the word in and then capitalize the word, the letter I in the word in. All those in favor, discussion? All those in favor, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair O'Driscoll. Are we sure there is nothing in law right now that would be an issue? I mean, have we researched it to that extent?
Ms. Linchowski.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. I haven't gone back to read all the statutes again and with this in mind, so I guess I'd have to say that I...
You're not sure.
I'm not sure, right.
Oh, I've got the answer. We're done with it for the year. I'm laying it on the table. other items at the discretion of the chair. We do have one major item that's that needs to be looked at, and that is to address the stabilization. And as we're in the process right now of looking at numbers on supplemental budgets and things, I'm just going to ask folks to stay tuned until we hear from the Senate, until we get our numbers resolved between the House and the Senate, and we have an idea of what we're looking at for numbers. And I have been working a little bit with Senator Pappas and with some other interested stakeholders to see what our options might be for something like this. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. That's raises a good a question. So is the plan to move a bill now, or is it to wait until we actually get joint targets pulled together?
My hope is that we could move the bill as it is and then deal with that issue separately, because there's a lot of stuff in this bill that the plans need and the plans want. I would not necessarily want to hold it up for that purpose. And quite frankly, tonight, if this is the bill that I see that we've before, we can button it up tonight and then just be on call till we get joint targets and any other kind of clarification on what we might be doing this year.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's really risky for us to close this bill. I think it's really the plan directors have told us from TRA and MSRS and St. Paul the cost of delay to the plans. And I think as we've been discussing, there is a proposal to phase in the increase for employer to begin the COLA, in particular in January, the COLA reduction, which will save a lot of money. It's been kind of a shared pain proposal. And I think in our previous discussions, we talked about next Tuesday, maybe we would be able to have, you know, an idea or a confirmation that we could move forward with including that in our omnibus bill.
And again, we can do it either way. I just know that time is getting short, and we've got some processes that we need to go through administratively, both in the House and the Senate, to be able to get this taken care of in the 2016 session, the entire omnibus bill, whatever that may look like at the time. So my intention tonight was not to wrap up the bill, but the question was raised by Representative Thiessen, so I can throw that out as a point of discussion. And you've shared your thoughts on it at this point as well.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
I would move to take your bill up off the table again. not do the Senator Pappas change and adopt it with the changes you've made. I think we can, the notwithstanding language doesn't make
any
difference
matter.
One way or another.
I'm just trying to help.
So that would be my motion.
To
move your amendment again.
So
as it was amended.
You want me to take off the table, Representative Thiessen, 3805, and put it up for a vote as amended.
And I will, and I'll be supporting it too. So you're not suspicious. Yes.
And Mr. Chairman, I can withdraw my motion. No, I thought I was being helpful.
Senator Pappas,
I'm worried.
We will move to reconsider the deletion of line one, or excuse me, page one, line 7. The deleting of everything before the word in.
Do we vote?
And reinstate that language. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We are now back to the bill as amended. Any other discussion? All those in favor of including House File 3805 as amended in the 2016 Pensions Omnibus Bill signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. And again, back to the other discussion, I have no other information this evening. We are just on hold until we get more information on where we're at on that process. So I want to also thank everybody for their hard work and participation thus far this year in the process, and we'll stay tuned. I know others have meetings that they needed to be to 4 or 5 minutes ago, so with that, we are adjourned.
So, Tim, is it your intention that we still meet next Tuesday?
My intention is...